to that team. The Diamonds in the Desert podcast can be heard on Sports 360 AZ, talking all things Arizona Diamondbacks. And we are now joined by Blake Swihart, the newest Arizona Diamondback acquired just a couple of weeks ago. Blake, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So, kind of a simple but broad question, just how has the transition gone? You were traded for just a couple of weeks ago from Boston to Arizona. What's that transition been like for you?
Yeah, so far so good. And, I've actually played against a bunch of the guys on the team before. So, felt pretty comfortable coming in, and, it's been a good transition.
I was going to say, obviously having Torey Lovello as the manager, Mike Hazen as the general manager, Boston guys that you know well, you're sharing a clubhouse with Adam Jones, Steven Souza, guys that you know well in the AL East. You're currently playing the Yankees. Just, the familiarity factor, how much does that help in the transition these first couple of weeks with that, kind of getting your feet under you as you've come to the desert?
Yeah, it's helped a lot. And being a catcher with Boston, seeing all these guys come up to bat and saying hello to them, and it's helped out a lot. Just getting to know these guys a little more personally now, and it's been great.
Torey was your interim manager in 2015. How have you seen him grow as a manager from then to now? I know it's been only a couple weeks with him, but how have you really seen him grow as a manager?
Yeah, just the way he communicates with the guys and lets them know what's going on, and how he goes about his business, handling every situation. And, communication's a big thing with players, and, he does a great job with that, and, he controls the team the right way.
When the Diamondbacks made the deal for you, Mike Hazen said that they didn't necessarily have a spot within the lineup or a concrete spot, but they knew they couldn't pass up on a talent like you. Just what does that do for you as you make this transition, knowing that this was a team and a front office that really wanted you?
Yeah, it gives me a lot of confidence, and, it's nice to play with that confidence and that backing and that support. And, I'm coming into a great situation here with a team that's doing really well and a bunch of great players that gel together. So it's my job to get on that same page with the team and do anything I can to help this team win.
As you're getting on that same page, what sort of discussions have they had with you about outfielder, maybe even, catching a little bit? I know that you have plenty of versatility that you can bring to the field.
Yeah, that's my job right now, and to go out there and do anything I can to help this team win. So, I do catching drills, infield drills, outfield drills, whatever this team needs. And, I know what I can do with the baseball bat, so I need to get that going. And, it's my job to come in here and help this team any way I can. And, they're already on a great roll, so I just need to fit in with them.
How tough is it to juggle, the outfield drills, the infield drills, the catching drills? I'm sure you're juggling plenty of gloves as you're coming to the ballpark on a given day. Just how tough is it to navigate those multiple positions at one time?
I've gotten a lot better at it since I did it a lot last year. And, I think it's pretty fun, and it gives me more opportunity to get in the lineup. And, it gives Torey some flexibility, too, whether giving guys day off, making double switches, just being able to play multiple positions, it helps the team a lot.
We appreciate the time. I know it's a busy time on getaway day. Thanks so much for joining us, Blake.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
That was Blake Swihart, the Diamondbacks utility player, we'll call him. As we discussed, he is a man that wears many hats and sometimes many helmets, and many gloves. He is a new addition, and when this deal was happening, Mike Hazen, as I said, he mentioned on the roster, it's not like they were necessarily filling a hole, but they couldn't pass up on a guy that they felt had a lot of talent, just didn't quite have that opportunity. And that's something I think that really plays with the Diamondbacks right now. You look at Christian Walker. You look at Carson Kelly. Merrill Kelly had to go to Korea to go get an opportunity. These are a lot of guys that are just looking for opportunities. In the case of Carson Kelly and in the case of Christian Walker, they were just behind two of the best players in baseball in Yadier Molina and Paul Goldschmidt. They were just waiting for their opportunity. And now that we've seen, especially with Christian Walker offensively, he's really played at a very, very high level, especially offensively. And then you look at what Carson Kelly's been able to do, and it seems like he has the same swing every time and is able to just kind of put that ball down the line for doubles. From what I've heard, he's really managing the pitching staff well and getting his feet under him. And we've seen with Luke Weaver his improvement throughout the year, and I think having that familiarity with Carson Kelly behind the dish has really helped him, because every single time Luke Weaver has started, Kelly's been the one catching him. And I think that that is very intentional, having it, you know, two young players play together. They came up together. They know each other well. They are very close. So to have those two guys go head to head, I think that's very important. And then I mentioned, you know, Merrill Kelly, he had to go international, you know, to go become and refine becoming a starting pitcher. And he's come back and had a solid start to the season. I think as a five pitcher, you know, you should be pretty impressed with what he's been able to do. And there were certain games, especially, you know, Swihart and the Red Sox, you know, against Merrill Kelly. Kelly was just peppering the zone. He threw like 95 pitches and 72 of them or something like that were strikes. Like, he was just attacking the zone. So it's been a little up and down lately for him, but you can certainly see that he belongs in an MLB rotation. So opportunity is what's going to happen when you have to replace AJ Pollock and you have to replace Paul Goldschmidt. You have to replace Patrick Corbin. And these guys, I think, have done a very nice job to put themselves towards the top of the NL West. And we appreciate Blake coming in to discuss those opportunities. Everything I read from, you know, the Boston side of things was the talent is definitely there. He has the versatility to find the field. It's just finding those consistent bats and finding that consistent playing time to make sure that he is, you know, able to produce consistently. And that should help him grow. And I think Mike Hazen saw that, obviously being familiar with the Red Sox. And that's why he jumped on that opportunity to bring him in. So he's definitely still getting his feet under him. We were talking before the segment, and he was like, most of my stuff is still in Boston. It's getting shipped over, but I'm here. My bat's here. My glove's here. Like, let's go. So we'll see how he develops, you know, over the course of the season. But I think that definitely helps having that versatility. Coming up next, we're going to do the aforementioned state of the Diamondbacks. You know, when the Diamondbacks call and say, hey, we can actually get this guy on right now, we wanted to, you know, prioritize Blake. So we're going to go to break real quick. We'll do the state of the Diamondbacks, and then we'll wrap the show up with Kent Summers. That's coming up next on the Brad Sesmatt Show. We appreciate Blake Swihart of the Arizona Diamondbacks jumping on with us earlier, talking all things Arizona Diamondbacks, his transition from Boston to Arizona. It's been a crazy couple of weeks for him. Diamondbacks on getaway day with the New York Yankees had a solid win against the Bronx Bombers last night. And now they're going to try to get the two-game sweep before they head off onto the road again. And we are in full swing with baseball. And as we are 1 month into the season, I wanted to kind of look at where the Diamondbacks are at, the state of the Arizona Diamondbacks. As I mentioned earlier before, Blake called in, 17-13 on the year so far, tied for second with the San Diego Padres. And then you have the Dodgers leading the way at 20-12. So I think where this team is at right now, you're replacing Paul Goldschmidt, you're replacing Pat Corbin, you're replacing AJ Pollock. Obviously, a lot of talent, a lot of fan favorites in that group. And I think kind of the consensus was this team would probably be around 500. I think for the most part, a lot of people thought that it would be a touch below 500. I was a little bit higher on where the Diamondbacks were coming into the season. I thought that they still had plenty of talent. And they just needed guys to step into opportunities, much like, you know, you think of some of those playoff teams in what was it, 2011 with, you know, Ryan Roberts. No one thought that this guy was going to step in and be an everyday infielder for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but he took that opportunity and ran with it. And that helped will, they had three or four of those guys, and that helped them will themselves to the postseason. I think it's the same scenario here. You have Christian Walker step in as the everyday first baseman with Jake Lamb going down to injury early in the season. So it's not as much of a platoon situation. It's Christian Walker is going to be your guy moving forward. And overall, I think he's really produced, had some very nice power numbers. He's hitting 307 right now. And at the major league level, at least, he wasn't a 300 hitter in past years. I know it's been very limited opportunity for him, but he was a guy that was kind of boom or bust on the power front, and that was sort of it. You're seeing him hit the ball. You're seeing him. It looks like he develops as a hitter. He's going opposite field more. He's finding the gaps, and he's stepped in really nicely. I think Wilmer Flores has been a nice addition for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I think the key here is moving Wilmer more to a utility infielder role. I was super against having Ketel Marte be your everyday center fielder, and that wasn't necessarily a comment upon Ketel Marte. It was more the depth that you had in the outfield. And with Steven Souza Jr. going down days before opening day, I thought he was going to have a huge year. But him going down and then them being able to have Adam Jones there to help with that depth and keep Ketel in the middle infield. And, you know, defensively, if you look at where Ketel Marte is and Nick Ahmed is as a defensive middle infield, I'm not sure if there's one that's much better in Major League Baseball. Dansby Swanson, Ozzie Albies, maybe you could make that argument, but I think defensively this is a special group, and that's where they're going to need to be able to save runs and help out their pitching staff, which has been pretty good, but not great. Right now, the bullpen number is middle of the road. There have been some ugly games, and I think that's inflating it. You know, when John Ryan Murphy is contributing to your bullpen ERA, and he's given up 7 earned runs, your numbers are probably going to be a little bit higher than what they really are. But you look at Greg Holland. He has been a huge addition. He hasn't given up a run yet. 10 innings, struck out 15. He's done exactly what he did 2 years ago. When he was with the Rockies and he was tied for the National League lead for saves, obviously a rough year last year with St. Louis and then kind of righted the ship a little bit with Washington. But you're able to really shorten the game when Archie Bradley's on, and he's been on. Andrew Chafin's been pretty darn good this year. TJ McFarland just got back. Again, our Haley Stasiak is going to laugh at me because it seems like I bring up TJ McFarland a lot. But the versatility as a left-handed pitcher that he can bring to the table is huge. Not only is he a guy that can come in a high-leverage situation and get one batter out, but he can also go ahead and go 4 innings if a guy goes down to injury, if a guy, you know, just struggles. And he's able to save the rest of the bullpen. They may not win that game, but he's able to save the rest of the bullpen. He just got reinstated yesterday from the IL. I think that's huge. I think that's going to be a big-time addition to that bullpen. Now let's look at the rotation. We talked about Zach Godley and his struggles. He just got moved to the bullpen to try to figure some things out. We'll see what happens. I think that spot, if it's going to be long-term, I would think it's going to be Taylor Clark or John Duplantier. I think both of them have proved it. Duplantier a little bit more just because he's had more opportunities. But we saw him in that 15-inning game get out of some tough situations, some bases-loaded situations, and less than 2 outs, and he handled it. And he was tough as nails and able to go out and get some outs. There's a reason he's one of the top prospects in this system. And same goes for Taylor Clark. Clark only had, one outing, but he threw 3 innings. It was lights out. And these are the guys that have been the cream of the crop of this, farm system. And they were at the top when the farm system wasn't as good. It's improving, and they're remaining at the top. So that should tell you where they are at a talent level. Usually, certain years, guys will be up at the top, and they may get pushed down by just better players as they get drafted and developed. But Duplantier and Clark have been up at the top. Jazz Chisholm, this has been multi-year guys that have been top 5 prospects. So I think that's where they may go. Yoan Lopez, another guy in that bullpen who's done really well. But with the rotation, you look at Zach Greinke. He really struggled in opening day. He was not good at opening day. Since then, he's been pretty darn lights out. And you look at what he was able to do this past outing against the Yankees, and he was able to get deep into the ballgame. And I think that's been the issue with Zach Greinke from being a very good pitcher to being an elite pitcher with the Diamondbacks. He can still definitely sling it. He can still definitely, get those outs. But it seemed like at times he wasn't very efficient, so he wouldn't get super deep into ball games, and he wouldn't be that guy who is, one of the biggest contracts in baseball. And that's when people start to question, wait, why are we paying this guy so much money if he's making it, barely into the sixth inning? You're seeing him go deeper now, get to the seventh inning, or really the eighth inning consistently, throwing seven full innings. That's all you can really ask for from a top starter. So I think he's, at least this year, he's edging his way to an elite starter and the ace of this staff. And that's really what you need. Now, Robbie Ray, he's been a bit up and down. It seems like Robbie Ray of 2016 before he really blew up as a starter in 2017. A guy that will strike out a lot of batters, but if they connect, it's going to get hit pretty hard. And that seems to be kind of where he's been. I think, obviously limiting the walks is going to be huge for him, moving forward as well. Now let's look at Merrill Kelly. I kind of mentioned him before. This is a guy, an unknown commodity, a guy that pitched at Desert Mountain. He pitched at ASU. He went to Korea. You saw his fastball numbers spike up. But this is a guy that, the name of the game for him is even when he throws in the zone, he's not going to get hit super hard. He does a really good job, attacking the zone. It's when he, walks kind of come into the equation and his pitch count starts to get up. That's when he really struggled. That's, I believe it was Chicago where he really struggled. But overall, I think you can be really impressed with him and Luke Weaver. Weaver struggled in his first start, but has really, developed nicely. Most recently had a bit of a rough outing, but you're seeing him give up one earned run, no earned runs, two earned runs, three earned runs. Like, he's putting himself in a position to win, sitting at a 3.73 ERA. Carson Kelly has caught him every single start, and that should tell you something. But I think that the rotation has been good. It needs to be great if they want to make this playoff push. Greinke is definitely leading the charge right now. You need to see improvement from Robbie Ray. Luke Weaver, I think, is starting to kind of put it together. I saw, that he's throwing more of a cutter, and that's we've seen some better results from him. But you look at the additions that Mike Hazen's been able to do, again, with a pretty limited budget and a times where injuries have happened. Looking back at Steven Souza, he's been able to make moves and help this ball club a lot. He took a flyer on Adam Jones. I shouldn't say took a flyer, because we all knew Adam Jones was going to be a very good, he can continue to be a very good player. It was just, there was no market for him because of the way this offseason has taken shape again. He's been so good. Adam Jones has been such a huge addition offensively, defensively, in the clubhouse. You look at Greg Holland, he's been great. I think Carson Kelly and Luke Weaver are guys to keep an eye on in the way that they develop. Blake Swihart's a nice addition. Wilmer Flores is a nice addition. And most of these guys are just low risk. If they don't pan out, okay, they don't pan out. You're not sinking a lot of money into them. Hazen has had to get creative, and he's done a nice job to put this team in a position to win. Now, moving forward, at what point, it's going to be interesting to see what the Diamondbacks do as we approach the trade deadline. If they feel, at what's the record they need to have where they're going to be buyers? What's the record they need to have where they're going to be sellers? What's the record where they kind of just stand pat, maybe make some minor deals? I think that Hazen last year really went after the bullpen. He had multiple trades, but it didn't really break the bank. That sort of thing. Last year, two years ago, it was JD Martinez. That was a huge win for the Arizona Diamondbacks. But moving forward, if they're eight games out and it's two, a week away from the trade deadline, what's going to happen? But I think that they've been a pleasant surprise. I think they've even played a little bit better than I thought they would. But I still think that this is a very talented team, and I think Luke Weaver could develop into a nice starter moving forward. I think Carson Kelly is probably your catcher of the future. And this is all without talking about David Peralta and the year that he has had. You know, if they keep this up, I think that David Peralta is probably an MVP candidate. Because he is really setting the tone for them as well. Not only getting on base, playing great defense in left field, his power is consistently going up. He has just been so consistent for the Arizona Diamondbacks, really the past like 3 years. I think he's really kind of come into his own a lot. And I think a big part of that is just being healthy. So I think if the Diamondbacks are in late September and pushing for a playoff spot, like, yes, he should get some MVP consideration. I know the numbers that Cody Bellinger is putting up right now and just the absolute world beater that he is. But when you look at, who's been the most important to their team, I think David Peralta can be argued for that. So I think that could be, you know, he's definitely got to keep it up. But I think that, he obviously has had a great first month to the season.